So a little bit about, the title is The Joy of Discovery. A little bit about myself. I'm married and I've got three kids. The third child was born about 10 days ago. So that's filling us with lots of joy. And so I'm on a bit of parental leave, and so I get to spend this time with you. And Rob invited me along, met with Rob a few times through prayer meetings at the church. And so, yeah, as Denise mentioned, I'm one of the pastors at Parkerville Baptist Church, and it's great to be fellowshipping with you. So, discovery. Oh, yeah, so a bit about me. I lost some page. Having three kids brings lots of joy, and I love bird watching. Is anyone else who loves bird watching around here? Yes. I was hoping a couple of hands would go up. I recently went to Dryandra down near Narrogin with one of my mates, and we got there quite early. It was still dark and we were driving around and hoping to see some night birds, because there's such an anticipation when you're bird watching of what you might see, because you might see nothing or you might see, you know, 100 different birds, and so it's really exciting to think about it. And so we've been there quite a few times, but there was one spot we thought, oh, we'll just go out there and explore. There's a bit of a hill and it looked like a pretty cool spot. And then we heard a bird that we're like, oh, I haven't heard that here before. And then so we discovered a bird that we've seen before somewhere else, but we've never seen it there before. So had a new discovering a bird in a place never seen before. And so this word, it wasn't that one. I'll come back to that photo. So discovery is a word that it's not really a new concept. I talk about discovery all the time. There's new discoveries all the time in nature and in science. People talk about the latest discovery of talent in music or sport or academics or different fields. Maybe for you, sometimes regularly, for the first time, discovered something new, and that's really exciting. My son Isaac loves having books read to him, and we go chapter by chapter, and when we get to the end of the chapter, he asks me what the next chapter is called, because there's that thinking, oh, what's going to happen next? There's that anticipation of discovering what's going to happen next in the story. And so he just gets a little taste of it when he gets the chapter title, and then he has to go to bed. And the next night he will find out. So I really love the idea of discovery. And I really feel that we need to rediscover and recapture that joy. Like a little kid wanting to find out what happens next in the story. The truth from God's word, the truth in discovering, the truth as we see in Peter, is that Jesus Christ has brought salvation for our souls. So that's a key aspect of this passage in 1 Peter 1, 8 to 12. And I'm going to read it now. I hope you can join with me. If you don't have your Bibles, it's on the screen. 1 Peter 1, 8 to 12. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. They're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Let's pray together. God, our Father, thanks so much for this morning and your word. I pray that you'll please help us to discover your truth in it. Help us to have that joy of discovery, you discovering you and Jesus Christ in our lives. And I pray that you'll please guide our hearts and our minds. May they be tuned in with you and your spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of Peter, this is part of the opening of the letter written by the Apostle Peter to a group of believers spread out across the known world at the time. And so it starts in verse 8 by saying that though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And that's because they hadn't seen him. They believed in him even though they hadn't seen the person of Jesus. Peter had. And the apostles, as they went and they spread the good news of Jesus Christ, their testimony about him went with them. And so even though they hadn't seen him physically, they believed in him. And this is the same for us, isn't it? We haven't seen Jesus. We believe that he's alive and that his spirit is here, but we have to believe. So the first thing about discovery is that it takes believing. We believe the witness of the apostles. We believe the records in the scripture about who Jesus was and who he is. And even though he's not present in physical form anymore, there is a sense of trust and an awareness of more than just the physical realm. Believing requires us to see things more than just the flesh and blood. God can reveal himself in ways that are tangible, that we can see and taste, like the amazing healing in people's lives through the amazing joy that it comes through discovering him for the first time. And God does reveal himself in those ways, but sometimes it's like the wind. You can see the effects of the wind when things are blowing around, but you can't see the wind itself. You can see the things that are carried by the wind, but you can't see the wind. And people could say easily, well, it's just those things moving about by themselves. But no, it takes, well, it's pretty simple faith to believe that the wind is moving those things, even though you can't actually see it, because it's just the air moving. So knowing that God is there takes discovering, and that's what the people have done. They've discovered that Jesus Christ is the Saviour. They believe in him, and this leads them to have an inexpressible and glorious joy. And this is such an amazing thing that is about discovery. Believing what is written. So if we don't read the Bible and we don't read about what Jesus did and what the prophets were pointing to, the activities of God at working in many people's lives, then we can't discover. We need people to help us, to point and help us to discover. And you know the phrases when you read something and when you're learning something new? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. There's those little phrases that just come to your mind that are just, there's an excitement there when you're learning about him, when you're discovering. And these people that Peter is writing to, they've discovered that. They would have heard the testimonies of many people that have come and told them about Jesus Christ and him being the Messiah and the Saviour of their souls. And they would have been like, oh yeah, wow, that's amazing. I believe in that. I trust in that truth. And that would have been very exciting for them, life-changing. 1 John 5, verse 9 says, we accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. And this testimony is given through his word and through his spirit. And we believe it when we understand it. Because he is there. God is there to be found, isn't he? He's there in his word. He's there all around us through the work that he has done in people's lives. And when they share that with us, we join them with their joy. When they people share their testimony and discover, wow, that's what a difference he has made in their lives, we can believe that and take that on for ourselves. And this inexpressible and glorious joy fills us as we believe. The end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls, which the prophets are longing to see. The salvation of your souls is something that that when we discover it, we have to figure out what difference that makes in our lives. Philippians 2:12 says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." It's not the work of working that out that is a salvation. When we get that salvation, when we believe it, then we work out, well, what difference does that make in our lives? What decisions do we make that are different now that he is part of our lives? And this takes a bit of effort. It takes a discipline. It takes a belief and a real trust. And it takes some searching to find God. He is there, but we need to discover him. And so it takes searching. So that's the next point. Discovery takes searching. And then, so back to this picture of a bird. This is one of very, very few photos of this bird. I don't know if anyone might know what it is. It's a night parrot. So night parrots are one of those very elusive birds that people thought were extinct for over 100 years. There'd been some rumours of sightings, but there was a rediscovery of this a couple of years ago in Western Queensland. And this brought great joy to the world of birding because a bird that was thought to be extinct is now rediscovered. But the guy who found it, boy, did he have to do some searching. You know, Western Queensland is a huge place, and these birds live in the spinifex like that, so very, very hard to find. And so, when he searched and found it. And so the reason why I say that is because sometimes it takes searching to find God. Sometimes he's not just so obvious, but we can search in his word, and he is there. So we read in 1 Peter 1:10, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets, who searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing, when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow." Now the prophets are people who spoke for God. They heard from God a message. So prophets are like God's mouthpiece. You could say that they spoke for God, and they also foretold things to come. Whatever the message that God wanted them to bring to the people, he gave that through the prophets. And so this group of people, they got told that God was going to do something amazing, something different, especially Isaiah the prophet. You know, the suffering servant passages in Isaiah 52, 53, and others, they would have been confusing to them, I guess, and they would have created this interest in people who have heard about it, and they would have been wondering, when is this going to happen? Because it didn't happen for a very long time after that. And so they wanted to know, they wanted to find out. There was this interest and anticipation of what God was going to do. They were quite hungry to find out, because it was pointing to something to come. And unfortunately, it seems as though when Jesus came, people lost that hunger. They lost that anticipation of God coming in this way. They were longing for the kingdom to be restored, absolutely, but they forgot that there would be this Messiah coming who would suffer. And he wouldn't suffer in vain, but he would suffer for a purpose, an eternal purpose, for people to come into the presence of God the Father and receive salvation of their souls. So I'm just, when I read this for the first time, it's just this amazing thing that the prophets were doing. They were searching intently to find out, and I just felt like that's something that I want too. I want that hunger to search for him, to find him in his word, and to discover what he wants me to know, but also him in the world. God is at work in the world, doing many amazing things through his Spirit, bringing gospel to many people. And this takes searching for, I think. It takes looking for. It takes an awareness greater than we might have ourselves. Because Jesus said when he was tested that man doesn't live on bread alone, in Luke 4. We need to rely on his word and feed regular feeding from it to hear from him, because sometimes he doesn't speak to us so clearly. It takes discipline to hear from him, to read and to listen, taking time in a variety of different ways. So it really shows that we have to trust in him, that he is there and that he wants to speak to us. And searching intently and diligently. And people will notice. I really feel that when you do that, when you're constantly having this desire to search for God and find out more and more about him, and find out what he's doing in this world, I think there's this inexpressible joy that can fill us, and we just want to share that with others. And even if we don't, people might even notice, because, you know, when we're filled with his word, it will come out. It will come out in different things. We'll take a moment to pray for someone. We'll hear that someone has a need, and we'll remember a verse, and we'll, can I share something with you? Can I share a story that I was just reading in the Gospels about Jesus, this man who brought healing to people, who brought great joy and hope to the people around him? His love is something that we can share with others when we are filled with it ourselves, when we have discovered it. So discovery takes searching, and what we saw about the prophets is that discovery sometimes is not just for you. The prophets were serving not themselves, but they were serving you. So Peter is really applying it to his audience and his readers. And I really feel that as we read this, it can be applied to us. That the prophets were serving us by pointing to the Messiah that would be to come, and the suffering that he gave. Verse 12 says, "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven." So if you believe in Jesus Christ, that's because someone has shared the gospel with you. And so it's an amazing thing to think about, that it's the same Holy Spirit who spoke to the prophets, who searched and found and discovered what God was going to do. And then this is the same Spirit that has then brought the gospel to us. And he is at work. The Holy Spirit is sent from heaven. And it's not just for us, ourselves, but the reason for the filling is for the overflow, is for helping others to discover that joy too and that salvation of your souls. And just lately, I've been listening to the audiobook of The Lord of the Rings. I don't know if you know the story at all, but there's this little quote in there, two characters, Frodo and Sam, they're journeying together, and Frodo goes to go off by himself, and he tells Sam, "Go back, Sam, I'm going to Mordor alone." And Sam says, "Of course you are, and I'm coming with you." Just when I heard that, I thought, wow, there was this real a love, I guess, and a desire to journey with together, journey together. And that, I think that's such a precious thing in our lives, when we can journey with one another, when we can help, when we discover something ourselves, and when that brings us great joy, we can then share that with others and help them to discover that too. And I just love that. And I think if we've ever lost that desire and that joy and anticipation of God teaching us new things, then I think we need to recapture it. Because I love this last bit of line in verse 12. Even the angels long to look into these things. It's like I'm a bit of a sport fan too. And watching on a game of sport, you just, you know, you're cheering on your team and you're wanting them to score the next goal. I just get this sense that the angels are looking on and seeing the Spirit at work in people's lives, seeing people discovering God maybe for the first time, believing in Jesus Christ, taking that on, and seeing the transformation in their life. I think the angels are just cheering on. And I think that on our team, and they're longing to look into these things. They're really interested in what's going on, what God is doing in our lives, in this world. So, yeah, this passage is full of anticipation, full of discovery. Firstly, for the people who have believed, and then the prophets who are searching and diligently and finding about what God was going to do through the Messiah. And then they were doing this for the believers in the early church, and then throughout the history where people have discovered the great joy through the gospel given, preached to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And I'm a very optimistic person. I don't know if you've sensed that just listening to me. I'm very optimistic. But I read this quote by A.W. Tozer, and I like to think really positively. But he wrote something that I thought was quite challenging, and I really sensed that too, that perhaps my optimism can be toned down a little bit. Anyway, these are A.W. Tozer's words. "There is a large amount of ineffective Christian testimony among us today. Much of it is well-intentioned, I'm sure, honest and sincere. We do the best we can with what we have. Too much of our Christian witnessing is unconvincing because we have not been convinced. Perhaps this is happening because we are trying to plan how everything should happen. If angels can weep, they must weep salty tears upon seeing a believer who has never really met the Lord making another new believer who will also never meet the Lord." And if this is true, then it's a real concern. But I really feel that God is wanting us to rediscover Him for Himself, the joy of meeting with Him Himself, the love that He has for us. We can discover Him every day of our lives in such a personal way. And then if we discover Him and that fills us with this great joy, then that is what we can pass on to others. And we can help them to discover that too. help them to read His Word regularly, help them to pray, help them to receive the Holy Spirit and see the transformation that God will do in their life. So for me, I'm just amazed at this passage and what it is saying. And I'm just always thinking about who is that other, who is that you that perhaps God is speaking to me about, who I can share this great joy with. Who can this message be passed on to? When I read the word, who can I share this with? Who can I pray for, and who is just waiting there for me to share this with? So yeah, this message it fills you with joy of discovery, and I hope that you leave this place with wanting to hear from Him all the time and share that with others. We pray with me now. Thank you, God, our Father, so much for Your Word and for the joy of discovering You in our lives. Thank You for the Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and that He brings salvation to our souls. He has brought forgiveness through His death and resurrection, and we believe that He's alive now, and He's wanting to speak to us, and He's wanting to fill this world with new believers, wanting to fill people with a great joy of discovery. And I pray that for us, we will have that hunger, we'll have that longing to find out what You want to do in us and through us. So I pray for everyone here. Thank You so much for this church, and I pray for that You would please provide for everyone here. Pray for healing here. I pray that you will encourage people here by doing a great work amongst them. And I thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Ryan. I must confess, when you gave me the title of your message and the Bible passage, I couldn't immediately see the connect between the two, but you've really explained. I can now, and it was a wonderful message, and both encouraged us and challenged us, I think. Thank you. We're going to finish the service with a final song, My Tribute, or To God Be the Glory. Now let's stand and conclude our service.